And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Standin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and, of course, on 97.3 The Fan. Been a busy morning for poor Jeff in the fan studios. The phone lines have been absolutely packed solid. We've been having a fun time here this morning, talking fishing, talking tackle, a couple of great reports. And speaking of reports, we're going to finish off with our catch report. We got the man, our surf guru, Gundy Gunderson, is standing by. Good morning, Gundy.
What's happening?
Hey, sorry to leave you on hold, Gundy. Same thing. I just didn't want to take a chance of not having appropriate time for our favorite report of the week, and that's the surf report. And, yeah, man, I know that this was an interesting week of weather and good. And, boy, last week the fishing sounded so great. We've just been dying to hear how things went this week.
Yeah, you know, it's like what I was telling you about last week. It's kind of constantly changing conditions. But those guys who are pounding the pavement, as we'd say, and working it, are finding the clean water and making excellent catches. Some guys had, I had one guy had 5 Corbina on the fly rod. I had another guy, the fly rod seemed to be working good this week. I had another guy up north had 4 Corbina on the fly rod. And actually, the zone of the best Corbina fishing has been, I'd say, from Ventura to Huntington Beach, you know. It's just been more inconsistent the further south you go. Guys are still, like I said, making catches. But it's not the situation where you get a report and you go, I'll get down there by the weekend and we'll see. You know, no, you got to react. If it's a report, you go tomorrow or you go find it yourself. Those are the guys who are really making catches. Hook, line, sinker reported excellent fishing for a larger size perch, a batch of 9-10-inch were the better ones, but real good perch fishing this week. The sand crabs are thick. Better Corbina fishing up there north, south of the harbor, Carpinteria, Ventura, Oxnard, that kind of thing. The halibut fishing also took a big jump. They had a lot of anchovies in shallow, and the guys are really knocking them. Metallic, sardine, cherry berry, that colors were working best. Of course, that 5-inch white fluke also getting fish. 23 to 27 inch average on the fish off the beach. That's very good. And then we saw up and down the coast lots of leopard sharks moving shallow, lots of real quality fish, you know, 35, 40 pound tops, you know, but these are spawners, and I guess that's probably what we're seeing going on there. And then working down to Big Fish reported excellent Corbina fishing off Huntington Beach. The guy's doing really good in and around the pier there. Lots of nice sand crabs. Get a little better quality sand crab under the pier and then take it down the beach is what some of the guys have been doing. Just fishing in Redondo reported excellent Corbina fishing. Torrance, Manhattan Beach, they checked in 2 fish over 5 pounds. Real nice quality Corbina. They also had, that's where one guy fishing Hermosa there had 5 Corbina on a fly rod. And when they're biting the fly, they're biting, you know. And finally, moving down to Pacific Coast there, they still have a small fish leading that derby, Corbina. I think it's 1-8. But, you know, this is a tribute to the Corbina anglers. They're such catch-and-release fishermen. You know, no one wants to post a 2-pounder or kill a 3-pounder. You know, they're just waiting around for that 5-pounder, and that's probably going to win the derby. So it's just the ethic of the Corbina fisherman. I'm the same way. I've caught hundreds, if not a thousand of them, and I let every one of them go.
I love it, buddy. Well, a great report. Sounds like really good fishing to be had up and down the beach. You just got to pick your spots and find the condition and then reap the reward. Gundy, always appreciate you taking so much time, both with thoughts and all the great fishing that's to be had out there. Really appreciate it, buddy.
I love doing it, man, and all my little tackle shops, that's why I like to mention them. They got the heartbeat of what's going on the beach.
No doubt about that, buddy. Great job. We'll look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
Have a good week.
Hey, appreciate that very much, Gundy. That's, again, if you want a little more info, check out surffishtackle.com for all your surf fishing needs, and also it's a great way to link up with Bill Varney and get a little more Cedros dope from him there. Well, Brandon, the phones have been absolutely packed up. The text the same. I had a fun text that I wanted to read, especially we don't as often get the time to have you in here, so this is one that I thought was up your alley. And the text says, "Hey guys, I'm looking for a little bit of tech talk for my smaller flat falls, knife jigs, and tungsten. I have some smaller knife jigs and some heavier long jigs as well, and I heard a captain recently say that he didn't like to put hooks on the bottom of my tungsten jigs and that he would not use the longer 7691-style heavy-duty long-shank saltwater hooks. I'm wondering how I should rig my smaller jigs with hook assist size and what the best way to rig is overall."
Yeah, so this is an issue we've been dealing with a lot in the tackle store, and what we have found over the last couple of years of the popularity of tungsten jigs, due to the fact that the melting point of tungsten is so high, the wire through stainless steel construction that keeps both ends attached to one another often will melt inside of the tungsten because the tungsten has a higher melting point than the stainless steel does. So we at Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop, the best tackle shop in all the land, we rig our tungsten jigs with the two assist hooks on the nose of the jig, connected to the split ring, and then from that we put a 200-pound fluorocarbon bite leader, and that allows you basically to never put pressure on the jig itself and only pull on the fish, and that prevents your $100-plus lure from ever breaking in half. But there's no question. This year, that tungsten has been hot, red hot.
It's one of those things that the wire that runs through, it's not certain that there's a problem, but the potential for that wire being compromised exists.
Yeah, you'd hate to
find
out.
Yeah, no reason to take the chance. And the beauty is those tungsten jigs are so small that really, whether that hook is hanging from the top or the bottom, the whole thing's going down the hatch. You know, you don't really need to worry about them finding the hooks on a. That's one of the beauties of tungsten is the hookup ratio is so high because they eat it so good. You know, you're not fishing a paper towel tube.
And another upside is typically the fish at night, the bluefin caught at night, are so tackle friendly. You can use much larger hooks than you would normally use on a lure of that size. And
if you were going to fish that jig in the daytime, would you then stealth it up a little bit, or do you still like a big set of hooks?
I still like a big set of hooks. Fish. You're targeting large fish, potentially the fish of a lifetime, and you want to have a large gap to hook those fish with. You may be pulling on it for quite some time, so you want to have a lot of meat connected to those hooks.
I think that's a good call. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's jump back into the phones.
All right. Let's talk to John in Dallas. Good morning, John. How you doing?
What's up, John?
Good morning, guys. Great. My question to Rick was, hi, Degray. I have a couple questions. My wife loves king salmon. What's the best way to fish those over there?
You know, most common way that fish gets caught is via a downrigger, and it's trolling with a dodger or a flasher and then a hoochie. With that said, there are other ways to catch them, too. Sometimes you'll just run a choked herring, which is just the herring itself without the flasher. Sometimes they'll just get over meatballs, and they call it mooching, where you'll mooch for them, where the bait is anchored over a ball of herring, and multiple guys in the boat will all drop down with like a sinker on a slide rig, and you literally either cut plug it or you choke the herring so that it spins. They're the only fish in the world that likes a lure spinning, like the things that we would all consider like, oh, you're never going to get a bite this way is exactly what they're after. And so you'll drop down on top of those and everybody will wind it up and it kind of looks like bait's coming out of a bait ball and you'll catch them that way. And then if you're a wild man like Corey, he's probably got a way to catch them on a 5-inch weedless, you know. But lots of ways. One of the coolest parts about it, John, especially there, is you're catching them in a picturesque, awesome backdrop. And it's a fish that requires, you know, effort on your part, but it's not the most difficult way to get a bite. Meaning if you're a gal that's going with you, she's not a career, lifetime, amazingly proficient saltwater angler, she's still going to do just fine. It's easy to get bites. They pull, and if one goes away, there's another opportunity to get another one right behind it. You guys would have a blast. It's a great spot to bring your gal with you or for a gal to bring her husband with her. It's just a really, really couples-friendly lodge. And being that it's female-owned, there's a lot of nice touches if your gal is going to go with you. Well, I appreciate the phone call, John, very much. I know you said you had another good text standby.
Yeah, we have had a ton of texts coming through, especially after we mentioned people need to leave their name and phone number. Now we've had hundreds of texts coming through. And here's one at random that I'm pulling up, and it says, "Hi, guys. John from Upland here. My neighbor has a pool route, and one of his clients' husband passed away, and his wife gave him his fishing tackle. And he asked me if I could use the reels if they needed them, but they need the line removed and to be serviced. Can I donate them to you, or where can I take them?"
Well, you can certainly bring them to Fisherman's Landing and donate them to the Friends of Rollo. We'll use them to raise money and take more kids on the Captain Rollo Kids at Sea program. And whoever makes the donation, of course, will issue a receipt for tax deduction purposes. And there's no limit. It doesn't have to be saltwater tackle, freshwater tackle. It just has to be something that, in fact, usable, sellable, because we will convert it into money, and the money is how we get more kids on trips. But as Rick can attest, actually, Brandon and Rick, I forgot, you guys every day probably see somebody come in that want to give you something. So
you don't need to make an appointment. You don't need to make a phone call. You could be cleaning the garage and have two old sticks and a box of swim baits, and we'll take it. Or you could be just like that text you received, and you know you're sitting on an estate's worth of gear that you're not really sure what to do. You might be upgrading, whatever. It makes no difference, no appointment, no nothing. Come down to the tackle store. We will make sure that it gets to Mike and Tim.
And if that's not practical or possible and it's a sizable amount, just give us a call on that same phone number that we're using today for the Reel of Week, which is 951-264-7382. You can call that number. Tim keeps track of that, and we can coordinate coming to you to pick it up if it's sizable and you can't get it down to Fisherman's Landing. So any which way that works for you, we are appreciative, and it helps us a lot.
And Mike touched on a great point there. You know, we so often get really generous customers that bring in old fishing tackle to drop off for Friends of Rollo because they know what a good operation they're running. But they often don't leave any information. So if you do want to receive some sort of receipt for tax purposes, please leave your information.
Yeah, totally. We'll take care of it. Doug, myself, Frank, anybody. Brandon could do it. We're happy to do it, and it's part of the deal. Make sure that you keep separate your old Taddy 45s and Sal 7Ss. I want to personally, of course, make sure that those go directly to the right source. So you can just separate those out ahead of time. Call ahead. Make sure that I'm going to be there. I will, of course, handle all that. And that way it's just a seamless issue, and there's no bugs getting through.
You might want to keep that phone number handy and just call us directly.
I had another fun text. Says, "Good morning, guys. What a fun show. I have a tackle question for the boys in regards to storage. What are you boys running as far as tackle bags and boxes? I'm still using a backpack with some plain old boxes inside, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I feel like there's some better options out there in terms of organizing and accessibility while fishing." That's from Rory in Lakeside. What are you running, boys?
That's a great question. You know, over the years, I've gone through infinite iterations of different tackle storage and whatever, and lately I've settled on a pretty old-school basic technique. I use either a Gamagatsu style, the G-boxes that are I just love.
I like those.
Spro is making some incredible terminal tackle boxes. I kind of like hooks
and sinkers.
Hooks and sinkers and small hard case, tackle boxes. And I collect all of that stuff and I put it in an AFCO like dry bag and I call it a day. I go, I don't have a dedicated necessarily tackle box, but it's a general bag and I throw everything in there and I go fishing.
I'm still using an SKB tackle box with the rocket launchers bolted on the side. I find that really usable on the multi-day trips, but duffel bags full of utility boxes is still my go-to for everything else.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. If I was a wealthy man like either one of you, I would also use an SKB box.
I'm the same with Brandon. I like an AFCO dry bag backpack. It's mostly because I fish on a skiff.
Yeah.
And my Parker, I like the fact that no matter where that bag is, I can stuff my sweatshirt into it, roll the top up, clip it over, and I know that, like, I'm not good about keeping it in the right spot, and I just have Plano boxes with all my two fish jigs in there ready to go, and then a couple of – and honestly, like, for a guy that has been in the tackle business my entire life, some of it's pitiful. You know, my hooks still live in poly packs that live inside of a Ziploc bag, and the Ziploc bag doesn't zip shut, and – my fluorocarbon, you know, is probably not as kept as tight and right as it should be, but it all lives inside of that APCO dry bag, and that,
yeah, that's, as long as you have a bag of two fish jigs, you're good to go. Yeah, yeah, that's all you need. But I found out from very recent experience, you know, Matt Brawl of the San Diego and Bodan of Two Fish Jigs, we all went fishing the other day out in the skiff, and myself and Matt both keep everything in a dry bag, and Bodan has not got that message yet, and boy, did he regret that. Every document he brought was soaking wet by the end of the day, and the dry bag is the way to go if you don't own an SKV box.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I will say, you know, obviously because I am so rich, sure. You know, as you clearly pointed out, I do like an SKB 7000 for my trips that are like 5 days longer, which is the little mini guy. I love it. It holds three 3600s. It's got four rocket launchers, but you don't need a crane and a pallet jack to get it out of the truck. Like I like that thing an awful lot.
That little box is bad to the bone, and it has 100% lifetime warranty. Those things are just great.
Yeah, they're bomb proof.
Well, just so you know, Brennan, I used to borrow Tim Baker's SKB box because I only fished once a year, and it was like, hey Tim, lend me your tackle box. And finally, one day at the used tackle sale, someone had donated one. I then bought mine secondhand, and I've been using it ever since.
Wow, so that's cool.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly how you elite rich are. I guess got that just fine. Hey, let's jump right back into the phones, Brandon.
Okay, let's talk to Doug in Montebello. Good morning, Doug. How you doing this
morning? What's up, Doug?
Hi. I was just wondering about like a small surf bag. Does anybody make one?
Sure, a lot of companies make a small surf bag. Lately the popularity has become like fanny pack style bags. Yeah. We sell quite a number of them at Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop. But, you know, from my surf fishing experience, you don't necessarily need all that much tackle. Most of the time I can keep what I need in my pockets, but a fanny pack does come in handy and it holds all your stuff and a kit stays out of the water. It's a great way of being. AFCO makes a very, very nice one.
AFCO made a bag they call, I should check to make sure it's still in their current lineup, but they called it the Urban Angler bag, and it was literally meant for like the kid that was on his e-bike that was running down to the lake or going down to the docks, and it was small. But it perfectly held one or maybe even two 3600s. But, like, it was meant to have one 3600, but then have a lot of pockets for all your miscellaneous stuff, pliers and fluorocarbon and things like that. But it was small and lightweight and meant for somebody that was fishing on the go, keeping it on their back, didn't need to bring the farm, just needed enough baits to fish for the afternoon. It's a really cool bag. Not too terribly expensive. And the other nice thing, not to make this an APCO show, but it's the truth, like all of their backpacks are very comfortable to wear. They didn't just put a pack together and sew some straps on the back of it. Like the back part is padded. The straps themselves are padded. It's like ultra adjustable. It's got a waist strap. Like they did a really, really nice job with their soft bags.
And in my opinion, APCO already made the best available boat bags and tackle bags and small storage bags and reel bags available. But, having gone to ICAST 2 weeks ago and seeing Mike Lum and everything he put together during the new product showcase, which you put on, AFCO introduced their newest dry bags and their new dry backpack.
I didn't even
they're
know
nicer
that.
Than they were before. You know, they were already, in my opinion, the nicest available, and now they're that much nicer.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that's one thing that that I was anxious to hear was some of the things. You know, you guys both were fresh back from the ICAST show, and it was one of the things I was excited to hear. And you know, Mike, you're not only as a product representative, but person that puts on the new product showcase. What were some of the highlights that you guys saw that you were excited in terms of tackle and tech and just cool stuff that'll be coming out this year?
Well, you touched on earlier in the show that you've been in this industry for your entire adult life, and I have not been in as long as you, but I've been in for the majority of my adult life, and it is rare we get to tackle nerd out on a new item. But the new Talica 40 2-speed, I fully dorked out on, and I got to see it at Mike Lum's new product showcase, and I that was the highlight of the entire show for me. I completely dorked out on it. I'm in love with it. I think it's going to be the dominant You know, spreader bar, trolling reel for Southern California, the Mad Mac reel, the kite fishing reel. It is perfect. It is a perfect reel.
I know that it had to, like, satisfy everybody, but I swear they made the tweaks just for our market.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's got a higher high gear ratio than it had before, so you're catching up to the kite line. That low gear that was full of power, they left that the same. Like, I all the tweaks. Because, like, the TAC 25 and the TAC 20, they lowered the low gear ratio to get more torque out of them. The TAC 50 didn't need that, so they left it alone, but they changed the high gear ratio.
And it's a reel that you could fly line 40-pound on, because it pre-spools so well, but you could also fish 200-pound on. It's pretty spectacular.
They did a really good job. Mike, what were some of the highlights that you were really impressed by or saw or just caught your eye that were new and exciting for MyCast?
Well, I mean, I saw, and they did not get as much attention as they deserve, but, and this is such highly specialized, but there was a company there out of Australia that had some digital electronic reels, very large, that were designed for, I want to say commercial sword fishing, deep drop sword fishing, and some of the giant tuna fishing. And these are reels that sell for $7,500. Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued by the guy who designed it and built it telling me that it was programmed in such a way that once you hook the fish and you made contact, got the hook in, you literally didn't have to touch the reel again, that it would automatically self-adjust drag pressure and speed of retrieve. And he told me that once the hook is in the fish, you could literally stand next to the reel, and the next thing you had to do was harpoon or gaff the fish. That you literally didn't have to touch a thing. And I thought, wow, that has very little to do with recreational fishing, but the technology that went into it to make that happen is really astounding. And so when I go back and I help produce the new product showcase, we're typically looking at close to 1,000 new introductions for that event. And so I don't know, it seems like 750 of them probably never really see the light of day, because this is an introduction to the trade. So it not only has to be accepted there, but then it has to make its way through the chain of distribution. And so a lot of things I see there that are very cool and different and unique, I never see them again after I leave the show, because for whatever reason they didn't get enough purchases to ever go through. Well, but a lot of our names, like AFCO, they win an award almost every year. They did again this year.
And they do it for a reason, because they make such
they make the great stuff.
Well, hey, we're going to continue on with that, because I definitely want to hear more. And I know, Brandon, I know you saw some exciting stuff too. But as we continue on, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It is time for our FishDope.com report with the Angler's Realtor, Yousef Husseini. And today that's sponsored in part by Norris Lithium Batteries. It is the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Norris delivers unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power. With Norris batteries, they're packed with cutting-edge technologies. You can upgrade your marine power today. Set up your system at NorrisLithium.com or just go see the trolling motor. We got the man on the line. What's up, Yousef?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing great, man. I mean, last week is going to be a tough act to follow with that good tuna fishing and sea bass and halibut biting up and down the coast. We're anxious to hear how this week shaped up.
Yeah, it's still going for the most part. Up by Santa Rosa is about the only place that the sea bass fishing has really slowed down. There is a gale warning in that whole area today, so
yeah, that'll slow it down.
Not going to be a lot of count. Yeah,
exactly. Slow anything down.
So St. Mick still has great sea bass fishing. Catalina's still going, normal summertime stuff. The backside sea bass has slowed down quite a bit. On the front side, though, it's full speed, you know, smaller yellowtail, bonita bass, in all the normal areas. San Clemente, front side, they've been pulling 10 to 15 pound, nice yellowtails, in between Purse Saint and Gold Bluff. You need a downhill current for that to bite, though. Stem bass has slowed down considerably from Huntington Flats all the way down to IB. There is still some spots people are finding clouds of them, but it's going away. It's not like it was. Off the tuna fishing, on the snail and the 299, it's just been full speed for the most part, between the Tanner and the 381 as well. Spotter play was up yesterday, I believe, on the 289 Clemente Ridge, and saw foamers everywhere and no boats.
Wow.
Hey. So they're out there. They did have one boat that somehow they got in contact with. That boat
came through and loaded up on 60 to 120 pound bluefin. The only person that was on there that they saw. Out right now in that area, clear poppers are killing it. Same with the super small flat falls, 40 to 60 gram. Down in Mexican waters, there's nothing really. It's not all the fish are up high now, up in the States for the most part. Coronados has been going off, yellowtail and bluefin. The Nottos are back.
Just crazy. Red hot still, right?
It's getting better at the Coronados right now. I mean, like, day to day, is the fishing is picking up more and more and more.
People were joking, like, oh, there's going to be 50 boats on it the next day, and then there's going to be 100 boats on it the next day, and then there's going to be 150 boats on it. Well, first off, you're right. Yep. There are 150 boats on it. And somehow all 150 are just having excellent fishing.
Yeah, limit-style fishing for all those people.
It was so much, you know, Rapala trolling and things like that in the beginning, and not that it's still not, but now they're, you know, it just call it what it is. It's so crowded that that's not an easy thing to do, so guys are doing probably what they should have in the first place and just putting their anchor down, putting a little bit of bait out, and here they come. They come find you, and you cast your two fish jigs, and you fly line your sardines, and next thing you know, you had an epic day with the anchor down, listening to tunes. Like, it has been such cool and fun fishing, and Fish Dope has been all over it. Where are the best spots to be at the island, where to get yourself anchored up. You know, they always keep tracking how you take care of getting your permits and everything. It's just been awesome. Well, and if you want to save $30 off of a new fishdope.com membership, you can use the code HOOKUPNOW. It's all lowercase with no space. It saves you $30 if you want to keep in touch with any of the great fishing up and down the beach. That's how you do it. And Yusuf, if somebody wants to keep in touch with you and save a whole lot more than that on finding the best deal on a new property, how do we do that?
You can get me on my cell phone at 619-277-2169, or you can check out my website, sportsmansrealty.com. If you'd like a free home evaluation, you can go to SoCal Home Eval, and we'll kick you out a free evaluation, and we won't stalk you after.
If you want to just deal with somebody who will get right to it, treat you incredibly fair, and is just a very normal, easy person to deal with, that is just not that are not going to take advantage, there is no doubt you got it going on. And the reason you've been so successful is for exactly those reasons. You just take such good care of everybody, and we're proud to be associated with you, buddy.
I appreciate it. Same here.
Awesome. Well, great job, Yusuf. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys. Have a great week.
All right, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Brandon, let's jump back into those phones.
All right. Let's talk to Jim in National City. Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Brandon.
Hey, Big Jim.
Rick and Mike, you know, I wanted to talk about you guys. You know, several years back, we got a boat for these kids down in the South Bay to go fishing. And the thing I wanted to point out, Mike, was how Howard took me by the hand, step by step, and made the process so easy to get a bit to get a boat for the Friends of Rollo. Yeah, it was awesome. Mike, continue the good work, and I'm glad that I can support you guys in any way I can. Usually by buying some of your tackle at the parking lot sale. You know, I always kind of find a rod to buy there. But anyway, Mike, keep up the good work with the Friends of Rollo. I know the kids down here in the South Bay enjoyed their trip so much, and thanks again for everything you do.
That's awesome, Jim.
Thank you very much for the kind words, and appreciate the support, and it's great to hear that the trip was booked smoothly. Howard does a great job for us. And anybody that would like more information, rollokids.org is where you can find that.
I have to tell the quickest story of Big Jim. He was so kind and brought a gift to the tackle store for Wyatt, my oldest boy. And he brought the cutest, like, tiny T-ball bat and bag of wiffle balls, which Wyatt thinks is, like, the greatest thing in the world. But the fun part of the story was he dropped that off when Dallas and I were in Alaska. And so I came to pick it up, and it had been in the shop for a couple days. And Dylan, as soon as I walked through the door, he said, "You need to take this home right now. This cannot be here. We cannot be trusted with this. Brandon has already chased me around the shop two times with a T-ball bat threatening my life. And the first day that you weren't here, there was a literal home run derby going on as soon as the boats left. You need to take this home right now. Like, this cannot be here any longer. We cannot be trusted with this."
The only thing keeping the only thing scarier than keeping a small aluminum bat in the fishing tackle store with a bunch of fishing tackle knuckleheads is giving it to the Hellraiser that is Wyatt. You are, Wyatt is going to bash everything inside.
Yeah. I can't believe he's blaming Wyatt for this.
Well, I'm just as bad as Wyatt.
Yeah. Wyatt. Brandon is literally Wyatt's best friend. If you ask Wyatt who his best friend is, he says Brandon.
We're both toddlers, really. Yeah. At heart, we're both toddlers.
So I walked through the store yesterday afternoon, and I looked down on the ground, and there was some object, some rubberized object. I had no idea what it was, and I picked it up and handed it to the guy behind the counter. I said, I don't know what this is, but I'm sure it was thrown at someone in the store.
Almost guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I guarantee that that was indeed the case. That's for sure. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More your phone calls, more texts, and a whole lot more fun. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it: the fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Park Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat, from the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system. My Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
One rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's a great time to take a test drive to see what Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs has to offer. You'll discover California's best-selling truck brand, Ford F-Series, equipped for anything your demanding job needs or the family vacation you're taking. Check out the Bronco family, featuring the iconic Ford Bronco or the versatile Ford Bronco Sport. Both have muscle, tech, and durability needed to go anywhere. Whether it's gas, hybrid, or all-electric, visit your local dealership to find the perfect Ford for you during the Ford Summer Sales Event. The Ford Summer Sales Event is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's a great time to take a test drive to see what Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs has to offer. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This is Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. In 1983, a group of intrepid anglers envisioned crafting the best sunglasses on the water. It's true now as it was then. Costa's performance frames excel in the toughest of elements. These styles are packed with functional features that create a competitive advantage for any adventure on the water. From the lake to offshore, Costa's Performance Collection has a legacy of helping anglers stay on the water longer. Learn more at CostaDelMar.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a blast here this morning. Great show so far. We're here with Mike Lum from Friends of Rollo, and we're talking about
Rail Week.
all the good things that Friends of Rollo are doing, especially Reel a Week giveaway.
Yeah, and this is the kickoff, man. I'm sure, I don't know if you've gotten any updates from Tim, but I'm sure he's been a very busy boy. Again, if you want to get through to Tim Baker, who is standing by right now, not only do you get your Reel a Week tickets, but you also get your opportunity to get in that side drawing for a brand new, in-the-box, Newell 338 Surface Iron Reel. I mean, everything reel, but man, like I said, it would just be a crime to own that thing and not spend some 40-pound on it and take it down to the islands and go make a cast and go come tight on a yellow. Like, what a
you
cool reel.
You just have to. As good as that would look on somebody's mantle as a collector's piece, you got to take it fishing. It deserves to go fishing. And I don't know if it translates via camera, but the list of reels that are available on the Reel a Week giveaway program, it's amazing.
Crazy, right?
It's the best reels that are made by every manufacturer.
And if you want to see that list, you can see it at rollokids.org on the website, or just go to their Facebook page, which is Friends of Rollo, and the list of reels is right there, along with the phone number that we're giving out, which is 951-264-7382. And leave your name and phone number. Tim Baker will call you back in the order that you call in and get your tickets for you. And then as a bonus, if you buy four of those tickets, you get a fifth one for free, and you'll be entered in to win this Newell reel, which we're going to give away on August the 12th.
Okay, there it is. And, man, speaking of great giveaways, we talked about it earlier, and Brandon and I have been gushing over our prize that we're giving away today. We have a very special prize today, and that is a brand-new CalStar GG773XH rod. And basically how this happened, this is the brand-new introduction of a new series of rail rod for CalStar, the GG series. Extremely high performance, a very competitively priced rod. You know, this rod that we're giving away today, $449 value. In the world of the highest end rail rods, it's just brought the price down that where all of us can afford it. It's beautiful. One lucky caller or texter today is going to be eligible. We took the winner from yesterday's show, which is Bob in Huntington Beach. We're going to get a winner from today's show, and Mike and Brandon are going to flip that prize coin, determine who the potential winner today is. We'll flip it a second time, which will decide whether that be Bob or hopefully you out there that's listening right now. And somebody's going to get that brand new GG rod. I did hear from Chris. He said those rods basically are available as of right now. That was the first of them out the door. But by next weekend, we will have those rods available in stock at Fisherman's Landing Tackle, and we're really excited
about
it. But
how cool is it for one lucky caller or texter to get their hands on the newest, latest, greatest rail rod before
the first one.
Fisherman's Landing Tackle Shop or any other tackle shop gets their hands on one?
I'm jealous. I said, we don't gush over gear this often, and they did a really, really nice job. We're excited. Well, the phones are packed. The calls are, too. I wanted to grab this text. Says, good morning, gentlemen. I still remember all the way back to the mid-90s when the Qualifier 105 took a bunch of us oncology radies kids out on a half day. It pretty much set the hook for me forever. I've always been curious about how to get a group going for my church. How many kids can usually fit and how many chaperones are needed for a Rollo trip? That's from Alex in San Carlos.
We'll take pretty much any number. You know, if you have 25 kids, we'll try to pick a boat that makes sense. Some of the boats out of Dana Wharf Sport Fishing that we use regularly, we'll take as many as 50 kids up there. So it just depends. We'll work with you. We'll figure it out. And the main thing is to get a hold of Howard, and you can do that at rollokids.org and work out a date and a location, and we'll get you rolling.
That's awesome. Appreciate it very much, Alex.
I have another text. We've had so many texts this morning, but this one was intriguing. What was the most valuable item ever donated to the kids? Also, can we send in donations all year? And that's from Jeff in Tierra Santa.
We accept donations all year. We also have on the website there, we have the ability to do an auto donate once a month once a month. And you can do that in any amount you want. We have quite a few people that do 20, 25 bucks a month, which adds up. It's a nice, painless way. You don't even notice that you've done it. You can turn it off anytime you want. So that's doable. To answer the question of the most valuable, I'm not 100% sure what that is. We've had some large grants, family trust type things. But as far as items being donated, I believe boats. We've had several boats donated.
Did Bob send his Blackman in? Or was that a different...
I don't remember. Boy, you would think I'd remember a Blackman. But we've had several boats donated. Trying to think what the most recent one is, and I can't. Harold Davis normally handles the boat transactions because they go to him.
Rightfully so.
And then they go through, and he fixes them and repairs them and then sells them off. So I'm not 100% sure, but we're open to just about anything that people want to give. So
that's what I love about Rollo. Any way that you can, any way that you can take in or make some money, you will. And any way that you can get kids out fishing, you will. That's it.
Gus from Burbank donated a boat to us. He was one of the first, you know, really high quality boats that he donated to us. Yeah, that's
so
right.
Rad.
I just remembered that.
Awesome. Good job, Gus. Well, hey, the phone lines are getting packed up. Again, if you want to get your shot through, there's still time. 833-288-0973. Who's up next, Brandon?
Let's talk to Mo in Vista. How you doing this morning, Mo?
What's up, Mo?
Real good. Thanks for taking my call. I got my tickets there, Mike, but the question is for the SAC, do your FMMs. I tried to do it online. I've done 10, 15 of them, but now they froze me out with my email address is wrong, my passport's wrong, I can't get my FMM. Does SAC do that?
It has definitely been a frustrating process, and I had a long talk with Ken Frankie after the show. They're doing their very best to help assist on the Mexico side of getting that up and running. And again, even though we talked about it yesterday, even though that is a sport boat organization that's paid for by donations to the guys driving sport boats, he welcomed it anytime. So yeah, if you're having difficulties, Mo, I would just contact the SAC office, either see Ken or Edwin or Geronimo, anybody there would be willing to give you a hand. One thing he did mention was that their website tends to be more mobile friendly than it does PC, meaning the FMM, not SAC's website. So if you were trying it from your desktop computer, perhaps try it on your phone. The other thing he said that sometimes throws the payment system off is a lot of guys are able to get all the way through until the very end, then their payment doesn't go through. And he said that it does have a hard time accepting cards that aren't of like the major credit card back. Like if you have a debit card from your credit union or maybe a lesser known, he said sometimes that throws it off. But if you're having an issue, I would just contact Ken. He made that offer yesterday, which again just blows me away with those guys. They are an organization put together by sport boats, paid by our sport boat fleet, but he welcomed the help for private boaters. He just said we're all in the same family, and let's be real, anybody that's driving their private boat the following week, they're probably going fishing on the Liberty anyway. So that'd probably be your best bet, Mo, and I wish you the best of luck. Had another fun text come through. Says, hey, good morning, guys. My question is for Brandon. I'm thinking about getting a brand-new Talica 16A. I was hoping you could give me a rundown on what you would do to spool it up. What size Spectra, what size Top Shot, regular Power Pro, Max Quattro, etc. I'm thinking about maybe getting the T-handle. I'm probably going to be using this reel for jigging more than anything else, but I'm looking forward to your opinion from Barry in Temple City.
That's such a loaded question just due to the fact that everybody has their own preference on the style in which they like to fish. The Talica 16 is such a versatile reel and can fish so many different line sizes. I personally like to fill it all the way with braided line, and that could be 65 pound braid, it could be 80 pound braid, it could be 100 pound Power Pro Max Quattro. You could do a number of things. I personally like a lighter Spectra to fly line with. I think a light Spectra cuts through the water very well, especially with the occasional very small sardines that are provided. It's beneficial to have a very skinny Spectra to fly line with. Now, if you're only ever going to nighttime jig with it, well, then there's no point in going light. You should go either 80 or 100 pound Power Pro or an equivalent. And if you like a Top Shot, which there's nothing wrong with a Top Shot, monofilament has always worked. It will always work. And it's, I would say for a lot of anglers, it is beneficial to have some length of monofilament for the stretch factor, for the forgiveness factor. It's really helpful when pulling on big fish. But I do like a considerable amount of braid on there, 80 or 100 pound. And if you're going to use a Top Shot, maybe keep it short. Maybe keep it at 25 to 50 feet in length.
I know that's something that I've seen you do for a long time, is most people tend to really maximize their braid backing size for strength and solid connection and all those things. You've always been on the opposite side of that. I might be speaking for you, but I feel like you've always rather had your line right on the rev limiter in terms of strength and connection, but favoring in the fact that that line's going to be a skinny diameter and that bait's going to have a much easier time pulling it through the water.
Yeah, with everything, with outside the exception of fishing lures, I like a skinny braid, and I feel that most braided lines are their rating, the actual breaking strength is much, much higher than the rating tells you it would be. So I often fish 30 and 40 pound Spectra when you shouldn't. You just flat out shouldn't. But I do, and it works, and I rarely have issues with the braided component of that.
The other thing to think about is the amount of drag that you're actually fishing on your fishing reel, which is so far from what most people believe.
Yeah.
It's the buzzword thing when you're selling a reel to say, this thing makes 40 pounds of drag, and this reel makes 55 pounds worth of drag. Most people, most of the time, are probably fishing less than double-digit amount of drag. 8 pounds of drag pressure is an awful lot to hang on to when you're actually putting on a scale. 12 pounds is more than probably most people do. 20 pounds is starting to approach an amount that most people can't hang on to. 40 pounds for more than about 20 seconds is more than 90% than what people can hang on to. It's just, it's a, you know, you think about those things too before you realize how much pressure you can actually put on a 30 pound or a 40 pound Spectra.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit that nail on the head. So many people get hung up on how many pounds of drag does my reel make? And in reality, all of today's high-end reels, they produce more drag than you're ever going to utilize.
Yeah.
You know, you're never going to go to max for the most part unless you're fishing extremely heavy line or you're on a long-range trip.
When you think about what we did in the day, a Tranx 300 probably makes more drag pressure than a 6.0 did back then, and that was the reel for fishing 80-pound. You know, like, it's just...
Not only does it produce more, but it will last longer.
Oh, dude. Now... I love this reel. This reel that you have as our side giveaway, this Newell 338, one of my favorite reels in the world. I owned them, I fished them, I loved them. It was not uncommon. You took that reel on a 5-day trip on the Royal Polaris to Cedros and had good yellowtail fishing.
I was changing drags daily.
One or two times at least. The Plano box was coming out with your extra drag washers, and you were putting parts into that thing.
But that's one thing a lot of people forget about this reel. The real thing about Newell was you could take them apart without them falling apart.
Exactly.
And you could anybody could change drag washers with a Newell reel, where the pins, you had to kind of know what you were doing.
Yep.
When you take them apart, they come in the store half the time in a coffee can. Could you put this back together for me?
I'm trying to think of
the case with this.
I'm sensitive to the fact that this is a family show, and I'm trying to come up with the most PC way to say it. We'll just call it an oh shoot spring.
No.
And
oh, yeah.
So we had a different term for it. But I remember back in the day of, you know, any time a guy came in to get a new dog spring for his 4.0 or his 500, we would always say, hey, do you want an oh shoot spring? And they're like, well, what's that? Well, that's when you drop the first one off of the reel bench and it lands in the carpet and you can't find it. You don't need to look for it anymore because there's already going to be a second one in your bag.
And if you're experienced, you'd take two extras
because
you were going to need them or somebody else was going to.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, I had another fun text come through. It says, hey, this is Joey Malachi's dad checking in from Inglewood, California. Last night, the Mission Bell Mafia teamed up with a community partner, Sport of Paradise, to give back in a really cool big way. They took 26 kids fishing on a twilight trip aboard the Sport King out of San Pedro. The kids had an unforgettable time reeling in sculpin and whitefish, learning about the ocean and making a lot of memories. And I just thought that was a really cool one that we wanted to pass along.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's exactly why we do what we do. This is a fact. Over 80% of adults fishing today started fishing before the age of 12. Think about that. 80%, over 80%.
I wouldn't have thought that.
So if you don't get a kid out on the water at a young age, the chances of them ever developing a passion for being on the water is very, very slim. 80%, over 80% started fishing before the age of 12. That's on a national basis.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I dig that a lot. Brandon, you had a text
on here? I have one that's a text right here that says, morning, guys. Great show. Question for Rick and Brandon. What is your surface iron setup? And if using mono, how often do you change your line? Thanks. That's from Matt.
If I had to pick my single favorite, it's a CalStar GF100 mag. I fish a Trinidad 20. And although there is braided line on the reel, it's only... so that it's not a pain for me to change my top shot. For the most part, I'm fishing all mono. My Spectre's never coming off of that reel unless I hook a big fish, and I like to fish 40-pound. 40-pound triple X is my thing, and I like a two-fish jigs 270 in Brandon's most hated color. The only color that he doesn't like is my single most favorite.
Which is Wounded Soldier.
Wounded Soldier, yeah, exactly.
You and I have never really talked about that, but if I had to describe the reel rod or reel line setup, it would be exactly the same, except I've been fishing 40-pound green Maxima for the top half of that for years and
ultra
years
green.
And years. Yeah,
yeah, and there's no right or wrong answer there. Like I'm a 40-pound P-line guy, but I like the same. I like a Trinidad 20 on a 95 on a glass Calstar 95J, and I like that 40-pound. Something about that old-school blue P-line is just it just feels right to me. But his question about how often do you change your line? Every day I go fishing. Because I'm using just a 100-yard top shot or a little bit more line than I can cast, every time I go fishing with that surface iron rod, I change that line. It's the least expensive portion of your trip, but the most important, arguably.
I'm completely the same. It's skewed because we work in a tackle store, but if I didn't, it'd be the exact same thing. It's one of the things I buy at PCS show every year is a bulk spool of 40-pound of my favorite mono, and I change it before every trip. Now, a lot of my reels bait fishing are full of Spectra, so it's very easy to change that short little top shot out, but you only get X amount of days when you're casting a surface iron at a yellowtail. For some guys, it might be once a week, and for some guys, it might be once a year, but you want to maximize your shot, and so if you've got that line in bulk, it's a very inexpensive investment, and it just casts better. I mean, it casts better every time, and there have been times when my line got stretched out, I had a bad dry line spot, I had a backlash, and we're going to another spot. It's only 100 yards. I'll rip that off during a trip, and I'll throw my spool in the bait tank, and I'll spin some more on. Like, for surface iron fishing with monofilament, there's no replacement for your line being in perfect shape. Like, it just casts so much better.
Well, not only that, but one backlash will oftentimes damage the line, you know, and it's in the wrong spot. It's usually down in the reel just a little ways. You get the tangle out, and you roll over the top of it, and you don't pay attention until you break that next fish off because you damage the line. So,
and it might not be, the damage might not be to the that it's stressed the line so much that it's going to break, but what it is going to do is not flow off the line nearly as good, and it's going to affect your cast, and it's when that spot pops up, and there's three fish there, and there's on the bird, and you're trying to stretch out as far as you can, and that's when it's either fluffed up or backlash, and you miss your opportunity you've been waiting for.
Yeah, the backlashes tend to stack on top of one another. Most of us, I'm sure most of the listeners are out there are more like me, less like a professional like Rock God Rick Maxa, and backlash once, twice, three times in a day, and that just propels itself to get worse and worse and worse. So please change your line every time you go.
I mean, I'm still good for at least two or three backlashes, you know, a year. It happens. Yeah, two or three times in a year, it's going to happen. Okay. You know?
I must not be on those trips. I don't ever see it.
You know, the one last thing that I will throw in there, it's not my surface iron outfit that I use for every cast on every trip, but it's a very good niche tool to have in the bag. We used to do a lot of springtime yellowtail fishing in La Jolla. That fish is most commonly right on the kelp line. And so my other outfit would be a same rod, that GF100 mag, or I do really like that new Calstar 95, and I fish a Tranks 500. And I fish that Tranks 500 because, in my opinion, it's the only reel that you can fully commit to a hard surface iron cast while fishing straight Power Pro. And I like 80-pound Max Quattro. It has to do with both the level wind and that the control braking system that's on Tranks, that it just casts Spectra so good. So in a scenario where you need a kelp cutter style rig where that fish is, you know, it's going to dust you into the kelp, it's not for every cast, and it's a little bit niche, but boy, it is fantastic for that.
Power Pro right to the ring?
I fish like a 3 foot piece of a 60-pound gold Seaguar.
Okay. Yeah, I just got back from a trip, and for 5 days I fished the same piece of 80-pound Seaguar gold label on my Tranks 500 kelp cutter setup, you know, surface iron setup, and we took turns with it. And probably caught 25 to 30 yellowtail on it. Never had to retie that fluorocarbon. It was wonderful.
The one nice thing, too, about that Tranx is it is a it's an outfit that's very user-friendly. So if somebody is lesser familiar, it's a very easy one to cast. You can adjust the brakes up or down as such. Hey, speaking of CalStars and cool rods, it's about that time. When we come back, we're going to find out who the lucky potential winner of today is going to match with Bob, and we're going to find out who's got that brand-new CalStar GG773 XH rod. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Pelagic is bringing back the California Tuna Challenge. Get ready for the most exciting tournament to hit the West Coast on August 22nd and 23rd. It's about the fun, it's about the tuna, and it's about your chance to cash in on big prizes. An affordable $500 entry fee per team gets you in. This fun two-day format is open to all Southern California anglers with three official weigh stations in San Diego, Newport, and Catalina. Optional jackpots and side bets up to $41,000 all in will raise the stakes for huge cash payouts, including options for yellowtail and Dorado. The big tuna here. Win some major cash and bragging rights in the ultimate California offshore showdown. Registration is now open. Go to pelagictournaments.com for additional information, rules, and to register for this great fishing event. The Pelagic California Tuna Challenge, August 22nd and 23rd. Just $500 gets your team a shot at the ultimate California tuna bragging rights. Check pelagictournaments.com.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about my fishing buddy Dan Hume and his amazing company, Hume Termite. As you know, Southern California is infested with termites. It's a constant battle for anyone who owns a home, and that's where Hume Termite come in. They're strictly termite experts. They start with a thorough inspection to find out why you have termites in the first place, then recommend sustainable treatment options that work. Hume Termite has been controlling my termites for years, and I have recommended them to numerous friends. Did you know 99% of termite companies are commission-based? Not Hume Termite. They're all salaried employees, and with a thorough inspection, they'll help you solve your termite problems. Not sell you something you don't need. Let Dan and his crew earn your business through customer service and trust. It's swarming season, and now is the time to call Hume Termite at 760-598-2201. They'll come out and give you honest answers to solve your termite issues. Check HumeTermite.com.
Captain Jamie Tennis from Season Sport Fishing here. For the past few seasons, a dart-styled metal jig has come into play in a big way for tuna offshore or even rockfish down deep. APCO's Crossbreed Jig has quickly become the go-to for many since it came onto the market. APCO's Crossbreed Jig is good to go right out of the package with a 4X treble hook, heavy-duty split rings, West Coast colors, and sizes 60 gram to 120 gram. Pick one up today at your local tackle store or learn more on APCO.com.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it is time. CalStar GG773. So our first prize flip we're going to do right now to determine whether today's potential winner is a caller or texter. Mike's going to do us the honors. So today we have a texter which is Alex in San Carlos. So now Alex in San Carlos and Bob in Huntington Beach are our two potential winners. Boys, I'm really excited. I hope you get a winner. We're going to do T. We're going to turn it into today. So the T side will be for Alex. The C side will be from Bob. Give us one more flip, Mike. Okay, we have the T for today, which is Alex in San Carlos. Congratulations, buddy. You've got yourself a brand new GG773 XH rod. That rod's going to be available at the tackle store. I'll bring it back. I'll keep it under lock and key. I can't promise that there won't be some drool marks on it or the boys pulling on it, but it'll be at the tackle store waiting for you, buddy. Congratulations. Mike, so rad to have you on here and so much fun talking. I know it was a busy show, but somebody wants those Reel of the Week tickets. How do we get them?
Call Tim Baker at 951-264-7382 or send him a quick email, win@rollokids.org, with your name and phone number. He'll get back to you.
Hey, great show, guys. Next Saturday, going to be a fun one. Bill Wilkerson from the Horizon. Next Sunday, Yusuf Husseini, the Angler's Realtor, along with Ali from BD Outdoors. We'll see you next week on Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on 97.3 The Fan, Facebook and YouTube Live.